Welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, April 19th, 2025. It is season 19, episode 13. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. Let me do this. I had a hell of a time trying to find this in the last episode because I did it so late. So, get that out of the way.
Clap, clap.
I know. Ouch. Anyway. Welcome into the show, and a big hello to Dave, who is off again today and using his time off to listen to this show. Boy, you're a trooper, bud.
Appreciate it.
Yep, you're a trooper, or you just have nothing else to do. But we appreciate it nonetheless. If you want to get in touch with us, you can hit us up on Discord, you can join us, you know, in the chat room on Twitch, email us, everyone at ingamechat.net. You can also hit us up on X and Twitter and Blue Sky. We're at in-game chat on all of those. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv and look for in-game chat. You'll be able to find us there. Watch us live while we broadcast. My chat room is all kinds of silent. Who do we have in there? We got Bama Brian hanging out. Bama Brian. Normally he throws up the clap clap thing, but I don't see it there. I don't know if he said anything yet. So anyway, welcome to the show. We are going to be talking about the Switch 2 again. Hopefully for it won't be the last time. But we will talk about it again. And, you know, we got some, I don't want to say breaking news about it, but yeah, we got new news about the Switch 2 and what they have decided to do with that as far as here in the States are concerned, and kind of surprising, actually, but we'll get into that here in just a bit. But first, we're going to talk about what we've been playing. RJ, you're up.
Oh, okay. As usual, for the most part, still playing First Ascendant. Had a new event come out. They added a new character, not a new character, but a new variation of a character in the game. They've given an ultimate version to the character Blair, a fire-based character who you can use in the game, and you know, a lot of people have been using that. So when I got on, I saw a whole bunch of Ultimate Blairs running around doing their thing. Same as when the character Ines came out and how broken she was at the beginning.
Broken? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That happens in Marvel Snap a lot because they release a new card each week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every Tuesday, once you start playing again, you'll start seeing that new card come up. And if that new card's broken, you're going to see that card come up a lot.
Yeah.
But not only that, you'll also hear about it in, you know, Reddit threads and everything else, and you jump on it while it's broken to get that advantage. Because they will not, as far as I know for this, Snap, and I don't know about for yours, but probably the same. I mean, Destiny did it too. Anytime it was broken and you took advantage of it, you weren't punished for that. It was their issue, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so just let them go on. Did you see a change? We haven't seen it yet. So I haven't seen the complete and total.
I'm surprised, yet.
Eventually, give it enough time, they'll find it out.
Depending on how severe it is, I'd be surprised.
But, after still playing with that, still playing Virtua Fighter, of course, still trying to improve my game. I just need to play more often than I do, really, but I just start getting into First Ascendant and start getting the dailies and everything like we did in Destiny all those years ago. So yeah. Other than that, I tried Balatro again. I'm still trying to get that yellow deck beaten. And
I need to get it. You know, it's been a while since I've been into that.
Yeah, and I'm still coming up short. Like, gets like sixth or seventh ante, and then something goes wrong, and I just got to start over from scratch again. But that's part of its charm. So
yeah.
I don't mind going back and trying.
That's the point of the game. Yeah, exactly. That's the mechanic of the game itself.
Yeah. Tried a little bit of Grand Theft Auto Online, and I haven't played this in a while. I played Division 2. I played a little bit of Division 2 as well. Tried to get back in the swing of things, and as usual, when you try to do something that you haven't played in like 6 or 7 months,
feels a little weird.
You have to relearn everything. You've missed out on a whole bunch of stuff. Seasons have passed, weeks have passed. So in my case, I was way behind on this game. Now it's like asking me to go see Wally and talk about the program. Okay, I don't know who Wally is. And you sent me to the wrong location because I've looked up and down this whole area and I don't see anybody here named Wally. So I'm going to have to go to like YouTube or Reddit or something.
Find out where Wally is.
Find out where Wally is and see what's going on. But yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing this week.
Yeah, yes, Bama Brian, I can see you now. So thank you. Welcome to the show. As for me, I wrapped up South of Midnight.
Okay.
Last Sunday. I think I did the game a disservice by just, you know, just going to say bum rushing. But what I mean is basically I was at there's 14 chapters.
Right.
And I had stopped at either chapter 7 or chapter 8. And I picked up at one of those chapters on Sunday and I went all the way through to the end of the game.
Okay.
And I honestly felt like I did the game a disservice because at some point I got to the point where I said, I'm too close to the end. I'm going to finish it out now. I don't know where that point was. It was definitely not at chapter 13 or 14 or even maybe 12. I don't know where it was, but I just felt like I was close enough to the end that I was going to keep going. And I did, but I think I burned myself out doing that in one afternoon, going that far into the game without, you know, just playing a couple of chapters and then coming back to it later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing it in one sitting, going through with a game like that and probably other games as well. I'm trying to think of other games where that wouldn't be the case. Like if you did Spider-Man, maybe, where there's a lot of little side quests you can do, or you can just swing around the city if you want to do that or something like that. That's not the case with this game. It's very linear. You don't get to explore too much. There is exploration within a limited part of the level, but nothing that's putting you on a different path, and nothing. Most of the exploration is just a means to get a power up of some kind.
So it sounds like it was meant to be played straight through in one or two sittings and be done with it.
Perhaps, yes.
Yeah.
But again, it
kills longevity though.
It's 14 chapters long, and I had played up to like 7 or 8 chapters over a period of like 4 or 5 nights.
Mm-hmm.
And then in one afternoon, I played another 6 or 7 chapters in just one straight shot. And you do that on a game like South of Midnight, and some of the flaws start to show in some of the gameplay of it.
Yeah, constant exposure. You did 6 or 7 chapters back to back.
Right.
You see everything. Yeah.
The repetitiveness of it got very.
Yeah, I was about to mention that if you did that many chapters in one sitting straight through.
Yeah,
you're used to it. You know, you like maybe you know what's coming,
mm-hmm.
and you already formulate in your head how to get through the stuff when it does get to you.
Exactly, and a lot of it, I can remember getting to. There's a section in a swamp that chapter 12 and 13, I think, or it may have just been chapter 13. I can't remember. Chapter 12, chapter 13, I believe. Were absolutely fun level design chapters. They were great. Mm-hmm. There wasn't much for exploration, but the way they had designed the levels were fantastic. It was fun to play that. It really absolutely was, especially coming from the chapters previous, which I think composes of about 2 chapters of being in the swamp, this swamp area. Mm-hmm. Hated it. Hated every single second being in there. There were a few moments of bright spots, but a lot of it I was getting lost and turned around and trying to find my way because I would explore. And again, the game lets you explore only to a certain point. In other words, if you are going off the path, it's because you're going to get a power up and then get put back on your path again. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not, hey, you found a shortcut through this level. No, never. You've just found an alternate route to get to a power-up, and then you'll get put back on your path, and you can go, you know, you can continue moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But
kind of mutes the thrill of discovery in that game, really.
Yeah, it's sort of. I mean, you're doing it.
You get something out of it.
Yeah, you do.
But
You're getting upgrades to your abilities. You're getting upgrades to your health. Like, I got an achievement because I found all the health upgrades that you can get for your character there. And I also almost maxed out every single upgrade, power, ability, whatever it was. I think I left off with like three or four of some of my side items that I really didn't use a lot of. But I definitely put resources into the ones, into my attack abilities and that sort of thing that I would have.
Yeah, that reminds me of what happened when I did in Infamous. I only used like maybe three or four skills and only had, I think, like six power cores. And when you could get like eight to, in the teens, 14 to 15.
Yeah.
But you can get through the thing with only six.
They did a really good job. In fact, I think if I explored more, if I went through it, I would be able to upgrade everything that I have. Because there's a finite amount. It's not some... The abilities that they give you and the attacks that they give you and all this other stuff that you can upgrade and everything else, I feel like, with as close as I got to maxing everything out, I feel like the game gives you everything you need to do that with. I probably missed some earlier in my exploration or whatever.
Yeah.
But what I needed to upgrade, I upgraded fine, no problem. I was also playing on the easiest difficulty you could play, which is not to say that the game's difficult or anything like that. I didn't get bored because the combat is boring. I absolutely didn't get bored because of the combat was being boring. I just got bored because of the repetition of go to this place, do these four things, get chased by the monster, and then do the boss battle. And it is level after level after level of that over and over and over again. And so a lot of the times, I'm just like, all right, let's get to the next one. Especially when you're doing, and again, this is my own fault, especially when you're doing such a long stretch of the game and you've gotten to a point where you've said in your head, I'm just going to finish this thing out, you know? Mm-hmm. Because even if you say, well, I'm going to finish this level and then move on from here, you get through that and you're like, well, I've only got like four more levels left. Let me see if I can just make more progress in that. And you eventually get to a point where it's like, I might as well just finish the whole thing. But I think I did the game a disservice by doing that, because getting through it all, I was just like, yeah, it's a beautiful looking game. It really is. The combat is a bit repetitive, but more so it's the mechanics of the level that are repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Just over and over and over again of doing the same thing. This is coming from a guy who played Destiny, who did a lot of over and over and over do the same thing type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally understand that.
But you were having fun doing that.
Well, not just having fun. I was playing with other people, you know, or doing it because I was turning in bounties or getting something out of it that way. Mm-hmm. There was, you do this, I give you that, you know. This was just, I'm progressing a story. Don't skip on it. I'm saying it's a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
Just understand that when you're getting into it, that what you do in the first few levels is what you're going to be doing in every single level after that. And it continues on.
Okay. So
with the exception of level 12 or 13, I can't remember which one it is.
The swamp levels.
No. I'm talking about the ones after the swamp levels. Didn't like the swamp levels.
Okay.
The very end boss fight was a bit annoying. Yeah. It was a little bit annoying. But for me, I was like, well, it is the final boss. Okay. You're going to have, this is what you're going to get when you're doing the final boss. And it was something to go through. And I think mainly what bugged me about that and other boss fights were the save states in between weren't the best. Like, man, I was getting through certain sections of the boss. In other words, the boss has a health bar, but the health bar is like sectioned into three parts.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get down to three parts, the pattern changes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Boss gets a different maneuver or different power to attack you with.
Yeah.
And then when that next thing, he gets another one to attack you with and that sort of thing. So I totally get that. But you would get down to where it's almost that, and if you died, it started right from the top again. Mm-hmm. And I totally understood it, but it was just like, especially when you miss a jump or you pressed a button and thought it was supposed to do and it didn't do it, and it's one of those things. Mm-hmm. 12 and 13 are levels to experience. They are homages, I feel, to their first game, Contrast. Mm-hmm. First off, I'm going to say it's level 12. Level 12 takes place in like the New Orleans streets, mm-hmm. like cabarets and all kinds of different things going on, jazz clubs and all sorts of stuff happening around there.
Right.
Some of the final chapters in Contrast are sort of the same way. It takes place in Paris, in France, where there's...
Close enough.
Cabarets and, close you know, enough, little, yeah. yeah, you know, things like that. And so...
Yeah, France, the French Quarter.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing. Yeah.
There were so many things that it took me back. And I think it was a joy to come from the swamp and to come to this next level that was just beautiful to see the way they had designed... the way they designed it. And I mean, if you're never going to play this, just go to YouTube and look up that level so you can see what I'm talking about, see how it's displayed and everything else. And you'll probably find comparisons to that and one of the levels in Contrast. It's been forever since I played it, but I do remember seeing that sort of thing. And it was just, I really liked that part. Mm-hmm. I really did like that part. But like I said, I think I did a disservice because at some point in going through all of that, I wasn't paying attention to anything else. I was finish line focused rather than, hey, let's listen to the story that we're getting. Let's read these notes that we're picking up. Because there are all these little things in different houses or different places where you could read notes about the characters in the level and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times I was just getting them. Okay, there it is. I'll go back. Let's keep going. Boom, boom, boom. Wasn't paying attention to anything.
Was the story not interesting enough to keep your attention throughout those chapters?
The story part of it you couldn't skip. Yeah. In other words, when it's playing out a cutscene or playing out a story scene, and you could skip it. I never did.
Okay.
There was a button to skip those. I never skipped them because I was interested in what the story was. And we talked about this, a lot of trauma that it was dealing with, that sort of thing, and it absolutely was. But the little things that you would find kind of to give you a backstory on things that are happening or a little bit more depth to the story, mm-hmm. I just skip past them. I mean, I would find them and do them because I was thinking, maybe there's an achievement for it, but I wouldn't sit there and read them, you know? It's a lot. I mean, I'm in the same way with Avowed, except for the fact that Avowed takes everything that I've found and it puts it in a library in my menu. And okay. I can go back and read that anytime I want. And there is a massive amount to read in Avowed. A massive amount. That's apart from all the dialogue that you get as well in Avowed and everything else. So, anyway, finished South of Midnight. It was good. I'm sad to say that it probably... Compulsion games, they'll be fine. But it's... just such a one and done type of thing, you know, which Contrast was the same. I have no idea about We Happy Few because I never played it.
Story based games usually is the one and done type thing. There was the journey from beginning to end mm-hmm. is what you get.
You say
it's not a bad game. Is it worth, would you say it's worth full price?
If full price is 60, and I don't know what the full price is, but let's say full price is 60, I would say no.
No.
I would say absolutely wait for sale. Okay. And I hate to say that about them because they're good guys. You know, we've had them. I've had, I think their art designer, somebody from, God, I think his name was Sam, from Compulsion on the show. I mean, we'd had mm-hmm. a really long, two-part, it was an hour long. Mm-hmm. And I split it up into two 30-minute segments. I mean, we had a really long talk back when Contrast had released. And I fell in love with the game, Contrast, fell in love with the development studio, never touched We Happy Few, knew that was not a game for me. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw, you know, South of Midnight, I was like, yeah, it looks, you know, I really, really liked it. I was hoping for a little bit more from the story to learn about... more of some of the characters, even though I know I just said I kind of sped through a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But if explanations are in a lot of the readables that you find, then that's on me. But it felt like there's no explanation for the giant catfish. Like, there's no, like, where did you come from? Who are you? Why do you look like this? What powers you? What you talk? Why? It's like there was, for a long time, I thought this main character's going to wake up and it's all going to be a dream. Like, she was reading a book called South of Midnight, and this was all the stuff that she was reading about, you know? Mm-hmm. And it never went in that direction. But I really thought maybe it's going there so this will explain why these different things. But really what it turns out, well, I can't say what it turns out to be. In some ways it does explain itself given the ending. And you are left to have to accept that this is just a thing. Even though the characters don't go about explaining, like, hey, why does everything look like this? Or why is it doing this? Or why is... I don't know. It felt like some stuff was left out. And again, could be me for not reading the readables. Yeah. It may not have been left out. It may have all been there for me to explore and discover. I just was like, it's words. I need more pictures.
Yeah.
Let's move. Let's go. This is taking too long. Let's go. So, yeah. Anyway, I wouldn't recommend it at full price. If you've got Game Pass, it's available to you. You absolutely should give it a go. If you want to do that on whatever difficulty suits you, go right ahead. It's not... I played it on the easiest. Like, I just want to enjoy the story.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to do combat in that. And it's not too bad. And I'm kind of glad that I did that because I've talked about this before. The combat felt like it interrupted the momentum of my play. I think the combat is good for... what am I trying to say? Every time you go into a level, you have to fill up this bottle, and it takes 4 battles to fill up the bottle. And every time you do a battle, you get a piece of story about the central focus of that level, the character, the focus of that level. You get a cutscene about it every time you do that. There's also other little battles around as you're exploring the level to get through to next areas and stuff like that. You don't get any cutscenes or anything. You just have to battle to move on further.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that gave me story, the ones that you have to do that, I was absolutely fine with because you get something for what you've done. The ones that would just be placed in the middle of a level to draw out the game, the length of the game, felt like, I keep want to keep moving. I don't want to stop and fight right now, you know? But you'd have to, and setting that on easy mode meant you could disperse of those fights pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, up to you on what you want to do with that, if you want to do it, but yeah. So, let's see. Oh, he says, okay. Thar6 says, I think it's 40. I'm on chapter 10. Pretty good. 40? Oh, gosh. I don't know where you were. I'm not sure what he means, but I think it's 40. But yeah, chapter 10, is that the swamp one? Maybe 10 or 11 is the swamp one. I can't remember. But yeah.
Maybe that's the price he'd pay for it.
Oh, yeah, I think it is. I think he's right. I think it is $40. That could be the case. That might be right. At $40, I would say, man, I don't know. You're probably playing on Game Pass, Thar6. I'm not sure if 40 is good for it. I've seen it on sale for down to like 30 or 25, maybe. That seems pretty good for it.
Yeah, $40 on Steam.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, 39, 90, well, $40.
Yeah. What else did I play?
Saying, tired saying 99, 99, 99.
Yeah, I know. I played more Avowed. I got my next, you know, I talked about it last week. I got my next companion to go with my group.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, now I'm going to go through, because I rushed the main storyline so I could get the companion, so that I could get the dialogue options and the side storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Except my companion that I got only goes with me if one of my other companions stays at camp. In other words, I can't take 3 people with me. I can only take 2 if it's with her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's going to be the case as I go forward, where it's like you can only have two people with you at one time. I don't know if that's the case. Maybe, but I haven't unlocked another person yet. Man, Avowed is just... there's a game that is absolutely worth every single penny you're going to pay for it. If you like Obsidian games, you know, if you like New Vegas, if you like the stuff that Obsidian has done previous with the way they do RPGs and big open world RPG type stuff, if you like that sort of thing, this is something you should put money into. You absolutely should. It's on Game Pass, so if you've got that, you don't have to. But it's really, really just, I'm not sure if I would say it's good, but I will say it's worth your money if you like these types of games. Because it is chock full of quests and information and dialogue and just story. Just tons. Tons of it. I mean, tons of it. So much that it might actually get confusing to you at times. Because you will do, you'll have like, I don't know, 6 or 7, 9 or 10 quests all lined up. I mean, there's only one main quest, but you can have a bunch of side quests to go through. And some of those side quests aren't like one and done missions. They're like, you got to go here, talk to this person, now you got to go find this, then you got to go to this. I mean, yeah, it's, Thar 6 says my game of the year so far. Are you talking about Avowed? I know you're going to get that a little bit later, and I'm almost positive that you're talking about Avowed. But yeah. Really, really well done. Really well done. I'm really tired of the area I'm in. I'm tired of looking at it. I want to go someplace new. But I was all set to do that. I feel like I found my doorway of, hey, once you leave here, you're going into the next thing. So I said, well, let me wrap up some stuff. I still have side quests. Let me go do these. You ended up picking up more side quests as I go. Mm-hmm. I discovered what did I discover? I can't remember. Found a couple of treasures, because you get treasure maps, and I found a couple of treasure items as I was exploring. Found new entrance ways and caves and all sorts of... I'm trying to leave the level and clean up what I'm doing, but I'm discovering more while I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And, God, it's just... it's jam-packed. If you like these types of games, man, that is going to give you your money's worth. Avowed is absolutely going to give you your money's worth. Because not only, and I'm not sure because I haven't finished the game, but I mean, you play it with one character in mind, you can go back and create a new one and pick a different route as far as, I'm doing wizard, arcane scholar wizard type person, but you can go back and do like a ranger, you can make them, I don't know, there's plenty of ways you can set up your character and go through it. And then there's other dialogue choices you can make. You can go through and be a complete evil person if you want to. You know, you can completely be just, you know, a horrible human being going through the game if you want to do that. In fact, the enemy faction in the game will welcome you into their ranks if you're that horrible of a person. You know, and then when you go into cities that hate that faction, they're going to hate you from the get-go. But what do you care? You're playing the evil side, right? I remember I had so much more fun playing the evil side in games than I did playing the good. But I would always do the good side first.
Yeah.
Infamous, I would always do the good. But you know how much more fun I had playing evil in Infamous?
Didn't.
I did because I didn't have to worry about, you know, all the things that come with. So when you're playing good in Infamous, you know, and you've got these powers that make explosions and do all these things. Well, if you happen to hit a civilian while you're doing this or something like that. Oh, you get a little ding against you because you hurt somebody. You hurt an innocent, you know? And so you were very thoughtful about how you go against fights because you didn't want to cause any problem to lower your rank, or at least I was. And, but when you're playing evil, who cares? Just go nuts. Explode it all. Star Wars, Old Republic. You know? That's a 50-level... MMO, not an MMO, but well, you know what I mean. It was sort of an MMO.
Knights of the Old Republic?
Yeah, not Knights of the Old Republic. It's just Star Wars The Old Republic. It was that EA online game made by BioWare.
I don't know which one it was, but I have a buddy of mine who excelled at the dark side of the force.
Yeah, well, see, I didn't play Jedi. I didn't play the what were the factions? There was the Republic, and then there was the Empire. Mm-hmm. And I played a Republic commando through my first 50 levels, and it was like, no, we gotta. I was making all the good choices, you know. Dialogue would come up, and I would pick the one that would tip it over into the blue instead of the red. Well, once I went Sith, basically, I picked a Sith Inquisitor to go through the
I think that's the class you use. Yeah,
yeah, to go through the Empire side.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you'd start picking these things that were just. You were just, oh, God, you were horrible. But it made the choices easy. It was just like, I don't care. I'm evil. That's what I'm doing. And so your face would start to distort, and you'd get all this stuff as you start to do it. It's wonderful. Just, I'd say it's wonderful only for the fact that I didn't have to worry about all these other little things.
Mm-hmm.
I could just play through it as a complete heel. Just completely do that. And I had a lot more fun doing it that way. I guess because I didn't have to micromanage myself and I didn't have to worry about things. Mm-hmm. It was always, what's the worst possible way to answer this question? Because that's what I'm going to pick. Rather than try and be diplomatic and pick like, well, look, that is the best answer, but it's also not necessarily the best in the situation. You really had to think about what your answer was going to be in some of the dialogue options that you would get. So anyway, that's just me. What else did I play? Avowed and South of Midnight and Marvel Snap. And I played more Assassin's Creed Mirage. That's been okay. I don't really have much to say on it.
More of the same?
It feels like it's more of the same.
Mm-hmm. You, of all the other Assassin's Creed you played, it's just...
I'm enjoying this better than I did the others. It feels more condensed.
Mm-hmm.
Valhalla is... big. Mm. Valhalla is massive, and there's a lot to do in there, and... it does feel like you lose a bit of momentum because of the other stuff that there is. Because you'll go to do one thing, but then once you're there, there's like 15 other things you can do while you're there that have nothing to do with the main story, but because it's there, I want to get them done type of thing. And then there's, I don't know, there was a lot to it, and it just felt like Mirage was more of a scaled down, more straightforward. I mean, there is other things to pick up and do. There's bounties and things like that that you can do, bounty boards or whatever it's called.
So for Valhalla and Avowed, main story, but a whole bunch of stuff on the side. You had more fun with Avowed than you did with
because Avowed is more exploration based. Like Assassin's Creed is Assassin's Creed. Go to the tower, go up, synchronize, and then you can see all the stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Avowed's just like, go in there, you might find something, and you probably will.
Okay.
You don't know that anything's there, but you probably will find something. It's like mm-hmm. that article that I was talking about where the developers realized that if we're going to put this here, if we have a way for them to explore it, we need to put something there that rewards them for that exploration.
Mm-hmm.
So any little thing you find in Avowed is probably going to lead to something. It may not be worth it, whatever you find, but something will be there. Maybe another quest, maybe some kind of a sword or some kind of weapon, maybe a shield, maybe a piece of armor. Maybe a story beat that just is really neat that they put in there. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But something will be there. For Assassin's Creed Valhalla, it was just, you know, I'm trying to go back into memory and remember.
Okay.
Well, because it's been like two or three Christmases since that thing released.
Yeah.
And it's been about that long since I played it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like any other, like a Far Cry or any other Assassin's Creed type of thing where... Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily quest-based. It's task-based.
Sounds like no surprises.
Very much so.
No surprises. You know it's there.
Yeah, don't because it. It's not like that. You don't see a new symbol when you go into a new land. Mm-hmm. You know what that symbol recognizes or resembles whenever you unlock the area.
Mm-hmm.
And on the map, you see a symbol for something. Well, that's the same symbol you saw in the other land.
Okay.
And you know what that means. It's a vendor quest or it's a something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Avowed, it's who knows what it could be. You don't know until you get there and explore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you also have options in Avowed. You didn't in Valhalla that I remember. Like I had an option to turn in this person if I wanted to, or do what they, you know, they revealed to me some stuff that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I could help them out with that, but I also had the option to say, no, I'm going to turn them in. Because you can go evil if you want to. What else? I feel like I played other stuff and I'm not even thinking about it. I played more of Schedule 1. It was all right. I haven't dipped back into it. I finally got to a point where you can do a save. You get a hotel room in this new city, and every time you go into it, I think there's a light switch or something where every time you do the light switch, it saves the game. It literally, you hover over and it's like save game, and you can do that.
Well, one of
found it.
Yeah, one of the little quirks of everyday activities that represents a save, yeah.
Basically is that, because when you go in, you're going to go to bed at night, you flip the light switch, because the city I'm currently in has a curfew. Mm-hmm. And if you're caught outside at night in that curfew, the police will come by and take you to jail.
Yeah.
You always make sure you're inside, you flip the light switch, game saves, good.
Okay.
So I was so happy to get to that point. So happy to get to that point. I haven't gone back into the game since then because I'm like, okay, good. I'm saved. I don't have to do anything. I'm right there. I've talked way too long here about the games that I played. We need to take a break. When we come back, we will dive into the news that we have. And I think we'll just start out with the Switch 2 stuff. But we'll dive into that coming up after the break here. We're going back into older games. It's not new game week. It's old game week. It's random old game week. So we're going to the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, a game by, I think, LJN.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Would you like to guess the property that they licensed for this one?
Back to the Future.
It's not Back to the Future.
Okay.
But it does start with a B. It's Blues Brothers. We'll be right back with... This is... Is it Everybody Needs Somebody, I think is the name of the track?
Mm.
But it's digitized, so it's like, it's done in MIDI or whatever.
Yep.
We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after. Enjoy right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat, going back to another Super Nintendo game. This is the title theme to Sim Ant.
Okay.
I want to go back to South of Midnight for a moment, because during the break, I other aspects of the game... Oh, hey, that's neat. Other aspects of the game came to me while during the break that I didn't bring up, and I really wanted to. That would be... the art direction is fantastic. The way the game looks is really, really good. Even the swamp area was really well done, even though it felt like it was a long slog and I was getting lost in parts of it. I absolutely got lost in a lot of that area, which I think is either... on their end for not making it easier to navigate, or it's just on me for missing turnoffs and all these other... Actually, no, what I forgot that I had an ability. There's like a central point in this area, and you're surrounded by swamp water, which you can't get into. This woman who lives in, like, New Orleans, or you know what I'm saying, down there, cannot get wet. Wet is death for her, which is fine. I understand you have to build a level like that you have to jump across things, but you know what I'm saying. Water is death for her. But the area, it puts you in a central area. You're surrounded because it's a swamp, so you're surrounded by water there, and there's other little areas that you can't get to. But you have an ability to send a companion over there, and the companion comes up as an ability, an unlock type of thing that you can throw. And I completely forgot that you could do this until the game prompted me when I was close, and I was like, oh, that's right, I could do that. Throw him over there and do the thing. I'd completely forgotten about it. Probably one of the reasons I spent so much time in that area. But I wanted to talk about the art direction is just amazing as far as what it looks like. The way everything had that stop motion quality and that whole like carved out of wood type of look to it. And the voice acting was wonderful on all of it. From the narration of the catfish guy, anybody that had a speaking part, is really, really good. Really good in that regard. And the music. I had forgotten that Contrast, their first game, had two or three original songs in it. Because the main character that you play has a mother and father who were like an act at one of the clubs in town. I think he was the manager and she was the performer, the singer.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like two or three sections where she gets to, where you hear the mother singing and there's some like shadow performances of the mom and whatever doing up on stage, singing some songs that were all written by the folks at Compulsion Games. Well, there's like a song every single chapter, and there's 14 chapters, and there is a full-on song for every single one of them, and it's all original.
Mm-hmm.
All original songs. Going through the credits, I looked and I saw where it was. Every single song was written by Compulsion Games and performed by, they listed names, but I'm almost positive they're employed by Compulsion Games. So I didn't want to leave you with any kind of impression that, you know, I just didn't like the game. There are so many really good aspects of it to go through and experience. So I wanted to make mention of those.
Hmm.
You looking something up? Or?
I was looking up the soundtrack and seeing if it was available.
Is it? Or?
Well, it's something, a digital album for...
There's got to be.
$10.
I felt like a vinyl was going to get released, though. I want to say one of my... Like Mondo or IM8-Bit or somebody had a vinyl for it, I think.
But if it, I was saying, was it did it make enough of an impression on you to go out and get a vinyl if it's available?
I'm checking now.
Yeah.
South of Midnight. There we go, vinyl.
Is there one available? Yeah.
Yeah, if you go to cookandbecker.com.
Mm-hmm.
The Art and Music of South of Midnight. Yeah, it's colored vinyl, starting at $140. Well, probably not. I mean, it's good, but
not that good.
I'm not gonna shell out $140 for it.
$10 sounds good.
It'd be great if it, like, this is giving you an art book. Let's see. Let's view product.
Mm.
Let's see if there's a way that I can change it.
You said 14 tracks, right? In the game.
There's 14 chapters.
14 chapters.
There may be. I think the I think the 14th chapter may not have a. I don't know. I think they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I didn't even look here to see if it's got a track listing. Let's see. Does it tell me how many tracks are on there?
Oh, that's what I was looking for. I see all the books and special stuff with it, but I'm not seeing the amount of tracks on the game. Tracks on the thing.
Yeah, same thing here. It's still $140.
Let's see. Gift box, 160-page hardcover art book, double LP vinyl soundtrack, a comic, some artwork on metal.
Here we go. Oh, Spotify has them.
Okay.
If you go to Spotify, you'll see all the stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here we go. Bandcamp has it. I'm just sorry. I know this is just such impressive radio to listen to. You can buy the digital album for $18. Mm-hmm. And I've got... I've got 42 tracks from Bandcamp. Now, this might include more than the original songs. It might also include the other compositions, you know, the other pieces of music that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. It's also got 3 bonus tracks. See, there's a boss fight. Yeah, so this contains, like, all of the tracks from the game.
Yeah, okay.
But given that there's 42 of them, I would say easily enough that there are 14 original songs, at least, in that game. So, just something I wanted to go back and highlight.
Yeah.
Because I really forget, the music especially is a very important part of the game, because a lot of it tells a story. The music tells the story that is pertinent to what you're doing at that time. There, in the first, you're one of the first levels, you're... There's the soul of this boy that has been trapped in this tree, and the tree has grown to look like him, very big, but he looks like this boy, and he's all just stuck up in the tree and everything. And as you climb the tree, him, helping him to, you know, let go of the fish and everything, there's the song that plays, kind of telling the story of this boy getting, you know, his soul stuck in the tree and everything else. It does that as you go through the game. The songs pertain to the level, pertain to the story. So, yeah, really good. Really good in that regard. Just fantastic. So, just wanted to mention that. I know, say, we're going to jump into the news, but we're going to have to give it a little bit longer here since we've only got about a minute and a half here before we get to the top of the hour. I want to talk about new Star Wars games because we got that. Star Wars Celebration's going on over in Japan. And we got some news there, specifically about a new Star Wars game. What else do we have? Yeah. Last of Us 2 kicked off, The Last of Us Season 2 kicked off last Sunday. And it was good to be back there. So much. In fact, IGN did a comparison shot of here's the scene in the series, and here's the scene of the game it's referencing. And while a lot of it was shot for shot, the dance at the barn that takes place early on in the game was not only almost shot for shot, but it was almost word for word. But which is fine, because, I mean, it's pretty good. That area, that section, that scene is really, really good the way it is done. And so... to keep that as is, not bad.
And that's from
Last of Us Part 2.
The game Part 2, okay.
Yes. What I look for, or what I hope to see, is where the show takes liberties that the game didn't, or just to say, you know, we're still going to tell this story, but we're gonna give you something you didn't get in the game, you know?
Yeah, that's what stuck out to me when you said it was shot for shot and word for word. It's like, wait, no variation? It's usually something based on the games. Like, there's some little liberty, some leeway, some things they put in there to enhance the story a bit.
I will say, in the video game, going back to memory here, and I'm not sure if I'm right or wrong on this. In the video game, there is a female character who... kind of makes an appearance real quick at the barn dance. However, that character has a much bigger role in not only the first episode, but I'm going to guess the entire series. Because I don't think in the game you know who she is. I think she's just a whatever. It's just a character they had come in to deliver a line of dialogue and whatever. That was it. Wasn't necessarily important. The show decided to take that character, give her more dialogue, but also give her a connection to the first game. In other words, she's the wife of the doctor that
tried to perform the
that Joel killed. Yes, yeah. You never got that in the first game or in the game itself.
Never heard of her.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You knew the doctor and you knew the daughter. But now we get to meet her mother. And I'm really curious how that's going to go if everything else is supposed to go the way the game went. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's going to be a conflict there, I would imagine, that they're going to run into. Mm-hmm. And I'm being real vague because I don't want to spoil anything that you're going to find out later on. So, yeah. But it will be interesting. I'm looking for things like that. It's kind of like what they did in I think it was the third or fourth episode of season one, where we meet Bill, but we don't just meet Bill. We get to meet Bill before all of this stuff went down. And it's one of the better episodes of the entire series. Mm-hmm. Even though you never got that in the first game. You meet Bill, you kind of learn about a little bit about him, but you don't get much of a backstory out of him. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one devoted an entire episode to his backstory. And it was fantastic. So I'm looking for more of that. I hope we get some more of that. I still don't know how they're going to fit that entire game into 8 or 9 episodes. Maybe 10, I'm not sure. I don't know how they're going to fit all that in there.
See a time skip coming?
Maybe. Well, we already got one. The episode starts out, and then after titles, we get a 5 years later type of thing. Mm-hmm. Which I think we got in the game itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
time skips happening in there all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
But this debut is representing the start of Last of Us 2.
Part 2, yes.
It's all time skip.
Huh?
Time skip then. I'm trying to fit all that in one season.
I just don't know how they're going to do it. It doesn't necessarily have to be a time skip. It could just be a cliffhanger, and then next season they go from, you know, more of the second game, you know? Mm-hmm. Again, we talked about this, where the perspective in the game went from Ellie to Abby, and then you played the whole game over again as Abby leading up to that point in the game when the two characters meet. Mm-hmm. So it's a possibility we get that as a cliffhanger, and then when the show comes back in season 3, you get more of Abby's story going through it up till they meet or whatever the case may be to go from there. I guess. I don't know. We're going to have to wait and find out.
Yeah, we'll see.
And we're way past here to take a break. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will jump into the news, talk about Switch 2. I got music here going back again to the old Super Nintendo days. I think these all come from Super Nintendo games, by the way. I don't think this is JLN. It might be. But the licensed property is the... Apparently, way back in the day, the crash test dummies were, you know, just a thing.
Yeah, they were hot.
They were. And they got a game out of it.
Yeah.
It's amazing what caught on back then. Yeah. Anyway, it's music from that game. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat after this. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. That absolutely sounded like Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go when it started. That had that little bass line there, or drum, whatever it was, and I was like, that's a little... And then it hits the Pac-Man theme. That is the World 2 theme for Pac-In Time from the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Welcome back to the show here. Dave asked me if there was any LJN wrestling music that we got in there because it's WrestleMania weekend. And unfortunately, Dave, no, I didn't know it was WrestleMania weekend. Otherwise, that's a fantastic idea, and I should do that. A lot of the times, though, with the wrestling games, mm-hmm. what you get, and this goes for fighting games too, really, you don't necessarily get an overall general theme. You just get wrestler entrance music done in a whatever. Done in whatever style you've got.
The MIDI version of your favorite wrestler. Stadium.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I noticed that with the fighting games. Like, I would get something like Killer Instinct 2 or get maybe Street Fighter or something like that. And it was like, well, they're using the same music over and over again, but they're, you know, it's just being updated. Mm-hmm. Because it's new equipment and or new hardware, and it sounds better because you can put more effort into the music. You can put more memory into the music to use it. So, yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's jump into the news because, well, we had Switch news. First off, we got to look at Mario Kart World. They did a direct for Mario Kart World. Not that they needed to further sell me on the game, but they sold me on the game some more. It's still not pushing me to the point of wanting to get a Switch 2. I do want a Switch 2 to play Mario Kart World, but I also realize that wanting a console to play one game, for me, I need more than that.
Yeah.
And so far, I haven't gotten it.
Yeah.
But Mario Kart World's got a lot going for it. It's massive. We'll start off for that. And I don't mean massive. I mean massive in all aspects that you can think of. How many tracks? I don't know. A bunch. And they're all new. Plus, they've got a lot of older tracks in there as well from previous games. How many racers? Well, you can have something like 20-some-odd racers on the thing, so you've got to have at least 20 characters or more. There's a ton of different characters for this thing. There are, I don't know, 4 or 5 different gameplay modes. There's regular racing, then there's the Grand Prix, then there's something called an Elimination Tour, then there's Battle Mode. It keeps going on and on. And there's an open world aspect. In other words, they show you this map. It's all interconnected. It's huge. And you can just drive anywhere you want to go. You can drive all over that map, through racetracks if you want to, whatever. If you're doing it in free roam, you can just go. And you can find... It feels a little bit like Burnout Paradise. Because you can go wherever you want to go, and there's little activities that you can pick up along the way. Like, you know, do a jump or do a barrel roll or something like that. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of different little things, little secrets to find and stuff like that as you're doing the open world type stuff. It's just fascinated by it. It's just it's fantastic. It was wonderful. And I hate the fact that it's only on the Switch 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I also hate the fact that the best way to get it is by paying the $500 for the system and the game. Because the game itself, I think, is going to run $80 or $90. Like all of their other first-party titles are running $80 or $90. That's the other thing that's kind of turning me off about the system. It's like, man, I want your system because I know you're going to make some games that I'm going to want to play. But I guess I have to factor that in, too. Like, normally I don't. Normally I see a game system that has other games that I'm curious into playing, and I realize, well, it'll be a $60 game, or it's Game Pass, or it's PS Plus, or I can wait for a sale, whatever.
Yeah.
Nintendo does not go on sale.
Yeah. Yeah, the usual bide your time. Eventually it'll go down. Doesn't really apply here.
Also, their first-party titles, which are mostly what I want to play on a Nintendo system, because I can play the others on other systems that I can get for probably cheaper, those don't drop in price either. And they don't show up on other systems. They're only on that system. So there's that aspect as well. Then there's the tariff situation. So here's what we know about the Nintendo Switch 2. Pre-orders for the United States will begin on April 24th. You will need to check different stores to find out what time they're going to start accepting pre-orders, whether it be in-store or online. You'll have to check. Everybody's going to be different. GameStop has said that pre-orders will go live, I want to say it was at 11 a.m. Eastern, which basically is when the stores open. 10 a.m. our time, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's basically when the stores open on April 24th. You can put in a pre-order in-store and online at that time. The price of the system will be what they originally said it would. We were wondering if they were going to increase it. They are not. They are sticking with the $450 for the system itself, the $500 for the system with Mario Kart World. The accessories and the games are quite expensive, but they will also go up for pre-order once the system does as well, and they'll also be available the day the system releases, which I think is June 5th. But those prices, the console price, let me go back to that. The console price of $450, $500, depending on which one you go with, will be good through release. After release, we don't know. It will follow whatever the market does type of thing. You know what I mean? It'll follow whatever the tariffs are implemented on it, if that's the case. The accessories are going to be floating in that range from here until it's released, and then further out from that. The console, however, is stuck at that price. So if you pre-order for this $450 to $500, whichever one you pre-order, that's what you'll pay when it gets released. If you walk into a store that day, you will pay that, if you can get one, you will pay that price the day of release. And likely days after, because all that stuff's already here. Once the new shipments come in, if you want to wait until the fall, if you want to wait until next year, the price of the system is likely to be more, depending on the way tariffs go. Depending on how the tariff situation plays out, it could go either way. But I will say, it won't go cheaper.
So no pressure on that pre-order, right?
Right, exactly. So now you're running into a bit of an aspect of FOMO here.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I can either pay the $450, $500 for it now, or I can pay more later. Or not, but you're not going to pay less. So keep that in mind. Yep. The base price of the system is $450, $500, depending on the SKU. The $500 pack-in with the Mario Kart World thing likely will not stay that way throughout the year. They will likely be done with that shipment of those and just say, no, we're just selling the system now, you know, because they're going to be taking a loss with packing in an $80, $80, $90 game for an extra $50. And if tariffs do anything, those game prices will go up. So that's what we're running into. That's the situation that we're going to be in. And I was trying to find... Yes, see, I don't have that up here. I need to go back to... Read later. Let me look at this. Here we go. This is from Kotaku. Nintendo has officially announced the date for pre-orders for the Switch 2. And that will be April 24th. However, peripheral prices have gone up. In a post announcing the news, Nintendo has said that at launch, the console prices will remain the same as those announced at the beginning of April. That's the $450, $500 thing. That's the good news, with Nintendo perhaps having successfully stockpiled enough supply here in the U.S. ahead of the launch to avoid the dramatic increase in costs that the tariffs may eventually place on the system. As the announcement makes clear, these are not permanent prices. They use repeated uses of the phrase at launch when they're talking about it, and a note explaining that adjustments to the price of any Nintendo product are also possible in the future depending on market conditions. This news also makes clear that announced game prices will remain the same, so Mario Kart World will still cost $80 if you buy it separately. The bad news is that if tariffs do look like they have a negative impact for American customers, accessories will experience price adjustments according to Nintendo. And it looks like most of the already expensive items have gone up by about $5. The Switch 2 Pro Controller went from $80 to $85. A pair of the Joy-Con 2s for the new system, because you can't use your old ones with the new one, those are now $95 instead of $90. $100 for a controller, man.
Yeah.
That's not like a third aftermarket type thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The same goes for the camera. It's 55 now instead of 50. Everything seems to be affected with the Joy-Con 2 strap bumped up $1 from the previous price. Even the AC adapter is now $5 more. So, yeah, they go into and they list all these prices. They don't tell you what the original prices were. But, yeah, they've gone up for everything in regards to that. So, there you go. That's what I'm trying to tell you is that if you get the console at launch, you're going to pay the base price. And I will tell you now that we talked about, you know, is Nintendo going to shift? Are they going to increase the price? Or are they going to come back off the price? Nope. It looks like $450, $500, that is it. Mm-hmm. They will not go lower than that. They could absolutely go higher, though. So you got to make a choice. You got to decide what you're going to do.
Like I said, no pressure. If you want it, you better get it now.
Yeah. For me, you know, I've been going over it, and if I can get a pre-order in on the 24th, I'll put a pre-order in, because that doesn't mean I have to buy it.
Right.
That just means, okay, I've got one if I want one. Mm-hmm. Now, let's see what happens after that, you know?
Yeah.
We'll go from there. So, I don't know. Again, I've sat here and said that I'm not interested in the system. It needs more games. Like, the two games that they've announced, or at least the two games I'm interested in, are the Donkey Kong game and the Mario Kart World.
Yeah.
Those are the two ones that I'm interested in. But, again, I have to go back to when I was buying new systems before. If I knew games were coming out of it, I knew that I was going to be paying $60 for those games.
Mm-hmm.
That's a neighborhood that we have been in for years. And kind of, it just felt, yeah, I understand that's what I got to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I want to play something else, I got to realize that I'm going to be paying $80 to $90 for the game if I want it. And if it's digital, it'll be, I think, $10 cheaper than physical. Like, they kind of want to, they're kind of pushing towards that digital purchase.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that, you know, you lack the ability to say, well, I want to trade this in and get something else. Because now it's, you know, you mm-hmm. can't do that. Like, if I wanted to, I can take my Switch and I've got a lot of physical games for it. I could take it over to the store, do a trade-in type thing
mm-hmm.
and get some money back. And by the way, GameStop will be doing a trade-in promotion. But they haven't released details on that just yet.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the pre-order is going to go live this Thursday, so we won't be here to talk about it until after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
But we absolutely will talk about that when it happens. But that's what we're looking at right now with the Nintendo Switch 2. $450 or $500 for what a, you know, that's it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know where people sit with that. I know they hated the price at the beginning. It was too much. And they wanted Nintendo to drop it. A lot of them felt like they were already pricing it in preparation for tariffs. But that was not the case, or at least according to Nintendo. They're like, no, that's the price. We didn't put that in there in anticipation of tariffs. So we put that in because that's the price of the console.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's the price of the games. In other words, the games won't go down. They'll only go up.
Yeah.
If tariffs force that to happen, they will only go up. So, yeah. AC Wraith says he doesn't remember his alarm going off the show. I've been sick and was busy eating the Easter leftovers that my aunt deserved. I hope you're feeling better, dude. I'm sorry you're not feeling well. Thar6 says $5 isn't bad. It's not bad, but I mean, I guess if you're already paying $90 for controllers, paying $95 probably isn't that much more. But it's a step in a direction of like, okay, that's the start.
Yeah, that's a test increase.
Exactly,
that's a test increase on that one.
Because
if they'll take five,
I know they'll take five more.
Yeah,
without blinking, batting an eye at it, you know. But I the tariff situation is the problem because God knows what the prices of the console and these games and accessories are going to be 6 months from now.
The possibility of you looking at, say, we thought 80 was bad?
Yeah.
Ugh. Now, I'm definitely not picking that up.
Well,
you know, writing it off altogether.
I'm also now waiting for games for other systems to start following suit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get for what Nintendo is doing. I understand what they're doing, but there's other games being made.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other games having to be shipped. And so I'm curious as to how those are going to... From Software is a... Is that a Japanese developer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? So those have got to go up, right? If they're making it in Japan and mm-hmm. they're shipping it over here, it's going to have to go up, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Games from, like, Bethesda, not necessarily the case unless they've got teams that are in Japan or whatever, but those are made here. So there's... we'll see. We'll just see how it's going to play out. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm interested to find out. A little scary. A little scared about what that's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's real tough to come back down once you've gone up. You know what I mean? This is not the best way to do a comparison, but it's hard to go from a 65-inch screen to a 32-inch screen or a 40-inch screen. You know what I'm saying? After you've had it as long as you've had it, it's like, well, I want to stay the same size or go bigger if you want to, but it's hard to go back down.
Mm-hmm.
And if Nintendo does this and it's selling, it's going to be hard for them to say, well, you know, tariffs are gone. We should probably drop these prices back down. Why? People are paying them.
Yeah.
Which other game companies will look at, people are paying them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bump up our price of our games. Even if there's, let's take away the tariffs. Let's just assume that something happens and it's like, you know what? I'm done with the trade war. We're all fine. No more tariffs. We're good. You know, that's, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can pay that much, then they'll, like you said, if they're not going to, they're going to balk at five, they may not balk at another 10 or another five on top of it or mm-hmm. whatever. Or other game companies saying, well, Nintendo did fine with that. Let's do that with ours. Let's make the next God of War cost this much. Let's make the next Last of Us or the next game from Naughty Dog cost this much.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever number we are at Halo.
Yeah.
Or GTA 6. There's that one.
Yep.
That'll yeah.
And then we also mentioned with all these prices, and that's when the indies come in and make some wonderful game for $5.
Right. Balatro, right?
Yeah, but, someone makes the next Balatro.
Exactly.
And ain't nobody think about AAA titles.
So we'll see what that's going to do, man. We'll see. Let's see. Going into the chat room here. Thar6 says, people in general, from what I have seen, have more problems with the $80 games than the console price. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Because people realize that they're only going to pay that console price one time. You know, it's like the cost of entry is this much, and usually the cost of entry is large.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you just pay a fraction of that for games. Yeah. But here, different.
And haven't we always had that... acceptance of the company selling the console is going to sell it at a loss anyway.
Always,
try to get a profit from the games they put out.
And I mean, they're still selling this at a loss.
Yeah.
Especially if you look at an $80 game being packed in for $50 more instead of $80.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're taking a loss not only in the console, but they're also taking a loss on the game that's packed in.
Yeah.
But they understand that. Mm-hmm. And that little pack-in is probably for a limited time. I don't think those two SKUs will stay on the shelves. It'll only be the bare bones system after that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they might release other systems like the Mario Kart World system where the games, the console is painted red or Rainbow Road or something like that, you know, like consoles do.
Yeah.
That'll cost whatever the market demands it to be cost from tariffs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get little special editions, the Zelda edition that has the Triforce thing on the back of the system, or whatever the case may be. You've got those coming in, too.
Yeah, the ones that end up on eBay in, like in 2 weeks.
But I think it'll be a while before those happen currently. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And then you've got the different versions of the console. You know, the Switch Lite is still a thing. You know, it doesn't, the controllers don't, it's just basically a portable game system. That's all it is.
Mm.
I don't even think it docks. It's just a portable game system. So, I don't know. There's a lot of aspects to it, and you know, I'm still leaning towards more of a no. I'm not doing this, but I'll get in a pre-order. Maybe I can. If I get in a pre-order and I decide not to, there's absolutely somebody who will want that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I won't rip them off if that's the case. I'm not going to say, well, then, you know, pay me $50. I'll move this trade in over to you or something like that. I'll just be like, no, it's fine. You can do that. If I can transfer it to you, go for it. That's the case. So we'll see. We'll see how it turns out. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up with more news here. We've got music here. Okay, so Dave, buddy, I didn't get WrestleMania for you, but I did get Smash TV.
Mm.
Well, Super Smash TV.
Hmm.
Who was Smash TV? Was that Capcom? No.
Midway? Williams?
I think you're right. I think it was Midway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it was Midway. Yeah. Here is Super Smash TV. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. In-Game Chat. That comes from another Super Nintendo Entertainment System game based on a film, Demolition Man. This is called Rooftop. So, anyway, welcome back into the show. Let's jump around. You know, the new Star Wars game that we got was, it's basically going to be a Star Wars XCOM type of game, which I am really interested in. I hope they do something with it. Star Wars Zero Company, a turn-based single-player tactics game that seems to be borrowing a lot from XCOM. Which I liked XCOM, and so I think it was XCOM or XCOM 2 I really enjoyed. So if they're going that route, sure. You want to slap some Star Wars paint on my XCOM? I'm good. That's fine by me. Perfectly fine. Supposed to get, a release in next year, 2026 maybe. Something like that. So, let's see. We talked about... what else do we have? Yeah, Elder Scrolls Oblivion is getting a remake. Now, there had been a company... When I say a company, there had been some like homebrew people... You know, like,
yeah,
just doing their best. Since 2012, they had been working on a conversion of Oblivion to be played in the Skyrim engine. In other words, they were taking the engine that they used for Elder Scrolls V Skyrim,
mm-hmm.
and were going to convert everything from Oblivion, which I think is 4, into that engine. So everything from Oblivion would look like everything from Skyrim looks. They'd been working on that since 2012, and they had planned to release this year with it. And then just last week, screenshots from the official remake of from who am I thinking of? What am I thinking of? Suddenly lost the developer name.
Bethesda?
It's Bethesda, yes. Because okay. That's, what's his name? Old Howard. From StarCraft.
Okay.
Not StarCraft.
Fallout.
Fallout. And what was the space game they just did?
Starfield.
Starfield. That's what it was.
Okay.
God. My brain, man. Thank you for helping me out.
Okay.
I think it was Starfield. Anyway, so they're doing a remake of Oblivion, and these screens got leaked, and also they gave a date at some point very soon. We were thinking it might get shadow dropped here pretty soon, but it seems like it's in the pipeline to be shadow dropped at some event, and we've got an event coming up with Microsoft in June for their, you know, their Sunday showcase, game showcase that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, apparently that is something that's coming, is a remake. And the Skyblivion people who were making Oblivion in the Skyrim engine, these independent folks were, they were fine. There's room for both, you know? We're glad. That just means there's going to be more Oblivion for more people to enjoy. You know, you can do it the official route, or you can go with this mod that is going to make it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Fun thing is Bethesda's not, you know, issued a cease and desist on them for doing this. They're allowing them to do it. They're not going to pay money for it. It's completely, I think it's going to be free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you get the official game, that's going to cost.
Yeah.
But the other one will be like a free mod or whatever to go, you know, into the game. So,
mm-hmm.
It just seems like, man, you've been working on that for over 10 years. And when you're getting this close to release, they did an official one.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Reminds me of Riven from Myst. There was a group of people going back through Riven, which was the sequel, and they were redoing it to update it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cyan Worlds came out and was like, no, here's our Riven remake
mm-hmm.
that we did. And it looked really, really good. But it didn't stop the other team. They're still going to work on that, and they still are working on it. But
right.
Yeah, so, which I just picked up, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was on sale. I picked up the Riven remake today. Because it was on sale by itself for like $20, but if you bought it as a bundle with the Myst remake that they did, which I already owned,
mm-hmm.
it brought the price down even further.
Okay.
So I just got the bundle version and was like, you know, we're not going to give you an extra copy of Myst. And I was like, I understand that. I'm getting Riven at a cheaper price than what it is solo. So mm-hmm. that's why I'm doing it. So yeah. Love my Myst games. Yeah.
It reminds me of the issue with Streets of Rage, when Streets of Rage Remake came out.
Yeah.
You know, Bomber Games made that, and it was so well loved by the folks, and Sega, I think, did give a cease and desist because they were going to release a
they
collection.
Did. You're yeah, right, they did.
They released a collection of Streets of Rage games, right? And because that cease and desist came out, people found out about it.
Was that Dot Emu or Don't Nod? Who was that that did the Streets of Rage 4?
Is it Dotemu or Dotemu?
Whatever. Yeah. Okay. So we're on the same page.
They made that, right? But I know that when that cease and desist order came out, a lot of folks was like, "Get it while you can. Get this remake while you can before they try to take it offline or whatever." And a whole bunch of people picked up, and that's how I got my version of Streets of Rage remake.
Exactly right. Going back to the Oblivion remastered.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently on Twitter, the Xbox support Twitter is the one that leaked the release date, saying the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion Remastered is set to release on April 21st. That's Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
It is confirmed to be a day one launch title on Xbox Game Pass, which strongly suggests that it will be available for cloud gaming. Yeah. That was interesting. Yeah, it seems like it might be a shadow drop or something. I'm not sure what we're going to get out of that. But we're getting, I don't want to say we're getting new Elder Scrolls. You're not. You're just getting remastered Elder Scrolls. I might go back to that. Oblivion is one that I tried to play back on the 360 mm-hmm. because it was one of those, it was the first big thing for the 360.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, if you've got an Xbox 360, a lot of 360s were sold because of Oblivion.
I think when I got the 360, I think it came with or something along those lines. It was some bundle package I got with a 360. Oblivion.
Yeah. Well, that's also where we got our first taste of DLC.
Mm-hmm.
$10 horse armor. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, I would love to go back in time, and I probably could, because I've saved every single news thing that we've done. But I don't know if I have anything for this particular one, but this was the first time we got DLC announced. It's like, oh, they're gonna add things to the game over time that you will pay money for. Yep. And the first thing they put up was armor for your horse for $10. And at that time, we were just like, that's stupid. Oh, man. It's one of those things.
Who is buying that?
I know. It's like, if you could go back into the past and be like, I know you're upset about this $10 horse armor, but let me tell you about some other stuff you're gonna have to face later on. Boy, it would just blow our minds way back then. So, but yeah. Phil Spencer said that Xbox will be bringing games to the Switch 2. That's great. What are you going to price them at, Phil? And if they're going to be on Game Pass,
what's the point?
Well, again, that goes, yeah, exactly. What is the point? The point is that people who only have a Switch 2 will be able to play those games. But the other point is, at this moment in time, an Xbox Series X is going to cost the same amount as a Switch 2. Get that. Pay for Game Pass, you'll have a whole lot more games to play than you will on your Switch 2. So that's another aspect. That's another interesting aspect of it. The Switch 2 will now be somewhat on par with price-wise with consoles that are currently available. PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. There may be some differences there, but you're looking at a difference of maybe $50, maybe $100, depending on the SKU you go with. Now, I'm leaving out the PlayStation 5 Pro or any of the other like Xbox Series X systems that are branded or have a skin on them or some other little thing. Yeah. Let's just go with your base systems. You kind of have a comparison to look at there. Both of those other systems, by the way, have subscription services that get you a lot of games to play, or at least get you free games a month to play. Whereas Nintendo doesn't necessarily have that. They do have their online subscription, and it does give you retro games to play. You know? Whereas Game Pass gives you brand new games to play when they release day one. PlayStation Plus, not necessarily brand new, although we've run into situations where, wow, that's Dragon's Age just recently added to it.
Yeah, there are circumstances that why that game was added.
But a lot of what you get are older games. However, they're not, I mean, if you want to compare, they're not as old as the games you're getting on the Nintendo Switch 2.
Yeah.
So there's I don't know, there's aspects of competition there.
Yeah, there's something about free that Nintendo's like,
Well, there's also the fact that people go in and be like, man, I'm ready. I've saved up my money. I'm ready to buy the system. Ah, we're sold out. All right, well, I'll take a PS5 or I'll take an Xbox or a Series X because it's there, you know, if they're that hard up to get the system. You know what I'm saying? To like, I've got money burning a hole in my pocket. I came here to buy a Switch 2. They don't have it. Well, I'm going to buy something else then, you know, just because I came in here to get it. And that's the thing.
What I mean, those games coming to Switch would be on PC anyway.
Well, if it's Xbox? PC, yeah, it's Xbox, no. PC, yeah. So, no, they'll be on PC.
Yeah, you got...
Microsoft does not... Yeah, exactly.
Other than the Switch.
Yeah. Sony's doing the same thing now, where they're getting more closer and closer to releasing not only on the system, but also on PC as well. Mm-hmm. They're starting to get a little bit better about catching up to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. But honestly, I think if your heart is set on a Switch 2, that's what you want.
Yeah.
Because you've had time to either buy or get a Series X or a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, at that point, yeah.
So I think that'll be the case for them. We got about 8 minutes here. I did want to talk about Marathon. I went back after the show last week and I watched the gameplay trailer on the big screen. Whatever, that's fine. However, they also did an 8-minute cinematic. I want to say it was 8 minutes. Might have been, I can't remember what it was or how long it was. There's another trailer for the game. When I say a trailer, but it's a Oh, man, I wish it was here. Anyway, it's really good. I don't know who did the direction on it. I don't know what it was, but it was 8 minutes of a cinematic that's just dripping with science fiction, with sci-fi, Blade Runner-esque type stuff. It is just really well done. And I hate to make the comparisons, but I'm absolutely making the comparisons. When we first saw Concord, there was a cinematic trailer showing that off. Kind of made it look pretty good. The stuff they used for that Amazon TV show, the video game stuff they did for Amazon, Concord was really, really good. As far as making a story out of that universe, wonderful. Making a game out of that universe completely fell flat. Looking at this cinematic, and I know Bungie has done, you know, Bungie's been here before, so I think they'll at least fare a little bit better than Concord did, but that cinematic was really, really good, and it made me think, well, maybe there's some good stories there in that world if they decide to go that route with it or decide to do some more in that regard with, like, telling stories from that franchise. Just look for it. Marathon Cinematic. Just type that into YouTube if you're a big fan of science fiction and give it a look. Because it's done very, very well. It's really good. Bungie's very good at this sort of thing. Bungie's really good at putting a nice shine on a new game or a new thing to drop or something like that. You know what I mean? Like new stuff. They're really good at selling that. Executing it, I don't know, but they're really good at selling it. So, I've always said, though, I think they could make a series out of Destiny. I think they could, and given what they did with Marathon, I think they absolutely could make something out of that. But I'm almost positive that Destiny has plenty of stories they could tell in an animated form. Watching Devil May Cry, by the way. I don't know if you did.
I looked at the promo for it, and I just put it in the save list to watch later. But I'll give it a shot and look.
Do you have Netflix? Do you?
Yeah, I got Netflix.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely give it a shot. Episode 6 is really good. But it is also completely different than all of the other episodes. The animation style, the way they tell the story, totally different than everything else.
They had some director changes or something?
No. They just decided to go. So they're giving you episode 6 is all about backstory.
Okay.
Whereas everything else, episodes 1 through 5 and then 7 through 8 is story development, pushing everything forward. Episode 6 is a backstory on at least 2 of the players that you've been watching so far up until that point. And you get kind of a backstory. And it's almost all of it is done in somewhat of a music video style. It's all set to music. There's hardly any dialogue, but it still tells the story. You get an idea of some origins of some of the people that you've been watching up until that point, why they're doing what they're doing, and some revelations as well as to, like, oh, so that's the point of this, or that's why they're doing this. You know, you get a bit of a history to it. It's really well done to tell a story that is basically just set to music with no dialogue. So, yeah, AC Wraith was Team Rabbit. That guy, whoever the voice actor is for that, like, they got his mic turned up. Not because he's soft-spoken so much, but his delivery of his lines must have been really, really... Like, if I turn my microphone... I've only got 3 minutes left. I'm going to turn my microphone up. You're going to start hearing some of the background here, but he talks in a very direct, like this, you know? He's not yelling. He's just talking like this. And so you hear the separation of his lips, the click of the tongue, or when he's talking certain things, you can hear all of that when he's doing that. But it's done very well. I think they added a lot of compression on it too, but it's really, really good. He's the only one like that that they do that with. Dante doesn't sound that way. Lady doesn't sound that way. No other character in there sounds like him, which is good because that kind of that gives you that that gravitas, I guess, of when he is speaking, because he does not sound like everybody else. Sounds different. So
to make you pay attention.
Yes, very much so. It's done very, very well. Mm-hmm. So we got to go, folks. I want to thank everybody for joining us on the show and hanging out with us. This afternoon, we're going to do it again next week as well, so hang tight. I was thinking about not doing a show next week, but with the pre-orders and everything else, I think I'm going to do a show anyway. Anyway, you guys have a good one. I am going to leave you here with music from... Oh, we're going to the Genesis. It was SNES all the way until we get to Genesis here, and you're going to get music here from Arrow the Acrobat. I'm going to let this play out a little bit more because I think it's a very repetitive piece of music. And because it's Arrow the Acrobat, it's kind of circusy as well. Anyway, have a great one. We will see you next Saturday. Thanks for joining us. Goodbye.